I'm doing something different this morning. I'm not going to have a teaching. I'm going to be just sharing a lot of Bible verses. So basically, what this morning is verses. And this is gotten from Neil Anderson about who we are. And it's just a lot of different verses in the scriptures saying who we are. If you're a Christian, this is available for you. Now, I don't have near all, and I don't know how far we're going to get this morning. I'm not here to go through it as fast as I can. I'm more or less, this is what my idea is. Can you turn that on? I shared this once before about different declarations. And what I did here is, I got like four different sets here. And I don't know if we're going to get through them, and it doesn't matter if we don't. And as a group here, I want to all say these together. Then we're going to go into the scripture verses where this is taken out of. So what this is, what my heart this morning is, as you say these words, I want it to be a dialogue if we can. If something pops up and says, I'm not that. Let's talk about that. And I know that if there's a lot of scripture verses being spoken, it's easy for our minds to kind of zone out. I don't want your minds to zone out. I want your minds to stay here and to grasp what the scriptures is saying, who we are. And this is something I believe is for all of us. That if we are born again, this is who God says we are through the scriptures. So let's start with this. Let's all read this together, and then I will read the scripture verses that are connected to each one of these phrases. I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. I am the light in the Lord. I am a child of the light and a child of the day. I am a child of God. I am born of God. I have God as my Father. I am part of the true vine. I bear much spiritual fruit. Now let's read the verses. After I'm finished with the verses, if anyone has any thoughts you want to share, anything that stood out to you, I'd like to be interactive if we can. So let's go there. I am the salt of the earth. Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. I am the light of the world. Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. I am the light in the Lord. Ephesians 5:8-9. For you were once darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of righteousness of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. I am a child of the light and a child of the day. 1 Thessalonians 5:4-5. But you children are not in the darkness, so that this day shall overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light. And sons of the day, we are not of the night nor of darkness. I am a child of God, John 1:12. For as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. Now, can you grasp that one word there? To them he gave the right to become the children of God. That's pretty deep. I am born of God, John 1:13. Who were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of God, but of will of man, but of God. I have God as my Father, 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. I'm a part of the true vine, John 15, 1 through 5. I am the true vine, and my Father is a vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already cleansed because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. I bear much spiritual fruit. John 15, 5. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. John 15, 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now in that passage, is there anything that stood out to you that someone wants to comment on? Oh, you have the mic. Okay, let's go to this next set. Let's read this together. I am chosen and appointed by Christ to bear his fruit. I am God's friend. I'm Christ's friend. I am free indeed. I am freed from sin. I am a slave to righteousness. I am enslaved to God. I am sanctified. I am recipient of eternal life. I will live forever. I am chosen and appointed by Christ to bear his fruit. John 15, 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. I am a friend of Christ. I am Christ's friend. John 15, 14, and 15. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have known in you. I am free indeed, found in John 8, 36. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, ye shall be free indeed. Are we experiencing that freedom? Do you experience that freedom that is promised us? I am freed from sin. Romans 6, 17 and 18. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin. Yes.
Could we go one at a time? By the time you come to the end, I forget of the other verse.
I am willing to do that. Go ahead. Do you have anything here? You want me to back up?
No, okay. Yeah, that one right there.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
One, all right. Maybe people can remember stuff better than me, but by the time you come to the end, I forget.
That's not a problem.
But this one here, God be thanked that you were the slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which you were delivered. Can you speak into a little bit the difference between obeying from the heart or obeying from the mind? We hear things.
I believe I can. What I see obeying from the mind is this. I have seen very real in my journey of life. People obeying from the mind and people obeying from the heart. What you do when you obey from the mind is you do it, but it's only because of the people around you. If you get removed from those people, you will do what's in your heart. And what I see here is we will not experience Christ till we learn to want to walk with Him from the heart. That no matter from those that are around you, you will still be that person. But if you are obeying from the mind, if you get away from whoever is dictating the instructions, you will deviate. I witnessed that all my life. It does not, and what Paul is saying here, we need to obey from the heart. From the innermost being of who you are, this is what you do. That's what I see. Anyone else have a comment? I'll take the mic. Hey, Alan, do you want to just keep that then and pass it around?
I want to speak into what you were just saying and the question Dale asked. If I look at that and compare it to my children, the story is popular. The teacher who told the child to stand up, something like that, and the child was stood up out of anger. And he said, I might be standing up on the outside, but I'm sitting down on the inside. He was being obedient because he had to versus being obedient because he wanted to. That is one of the differences between doing it from your heart, doing it out of your head, or doing it from your head and doing it because you have to, or doing it from your heart. You want to, whether you feel like it or not, you want to because you know this is what you're supposed to do.
I do not believe we will find the realness of Christ, the richness that there is in Christ, till we do it from the heart. Any other comments? Just hang on a minute. Is there someone listening in? You don't know.
So can you be a Christian and just obey from your head or from your mind?
But to answer that, we have to understand what a Christian is. A Christian is confessing that Jesus is Lord of my life. Sanctification is going through life one step at a time, coming in more and more alignment to Christ. I believe you can be, but you will not. I think it's going to be one of the worst places to be in life is to obey just out of the mind only, because your heart wants to go elsewhere, but you know you shouldn't. You don't receive the beauty of the who God is till you experience it in your heart. Because there are so many promises in the Word of God. I mean, they're just loaded. But I'm convinced it's geared to people doing it from the heart. That's when you receive the richness. That's when it gets rich. That's when it gets real. When it's from the heart. Now, you'll be tested. But I'm telling you, every test just takes you to a better place in life. And thank you for that. I'm going to speak something here now. In our society, Christianity has been spoken for decades. For centuries, Christianity has been spoken. And what it has produced is a lot of a mind. What I am proposing that we go in life seeking to know God in the kingdom of God. I don't think it's possible to embrace the kingdom of God like it's found in the Gospels if you don't do it from the heart. The kingdom of God is when I come under submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and I want to bring His kingdom that is in heaven on this earth, depending how I choose to live. And I don't think you can do that through the mind. And I believe it's high time that we embrace living out of the heart and not out of the mind. Amana has one.
So if you're living out of the mind, is it possible to be free from sin?
Wow. Wow. Wow.
You're on the wrong tree.
Ah, wow.
Or is that living in a state of being a slave to sin?
Yes. Yes, it's a state of being a slave to sin because your heart really wants to do the forbidden. And when nobody's looking, that's where you go. But therein is confusion. There's no peace there. Because in your mind, see, I don't want to degrade our minds. Because our mind is good. Our mind is given from God. Our mind helps us to know what is right and wrong. But if our heart does not line, if our mind does not line up with the living Lord Jesus Christ, and our heart doesn't line up with the Lord, living Lord Jesus Christ, it creates confusion within, because one part of your being wants the forbidden, and the other part knows you shouldn't. And when you hear, well, I'm just so confused. I hear that often. And I believe it's a result of the heart not being in alignment to the mind. And therefore, I get confused. Does that connect? In the back, Eduardo has it. Eduardo, the purpose is so if there's someone listening in that they can hear it.
Oh, okay. My thing would be, wouldn't be the mind the number one thing? Besides the heart, like you just said, the heart has to line up with the mind, right? Because like a sin would not be in the heart, would be in the thought, right? Or like in your brain, like isn't that the core of everything?
That to me, they work together, but there are two major different components within our being. And what makes confusion if the one wants one and the other one wants the opposite?
Right. But the question was, can you be a Christian if it's not in your heart?
The Christian is based on confession. In Romans 6, it says, if I confess with my mouth and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I will be saved.
Right. So you could be a Christian and your heart not aligning with
Yes,
things.
I right. believe you can be. That's right. how I see it.
Right.
But you don't grow. Because I don't see you growing in a state of confusion.
Now, wouldn't that be in that certain area?
In that area.
So see, you would grow as a Christian, just not in that specific area, right?
That can be, but I'm going to use myself for example. If I start saying no to God in one area, it tends to affect God, me in all areas. I'm preaching a verse off this. I didn't even know it.
One thing I think we do is we kind of miss words and verses. And you kind of did that. I want to quick pull attention to this. What does Romans 10 say? That if you confess with your mouth, that's right, believe where?
Believe in your heart. Does it say?
It does say that. So my point is, without belief in the heart, you're not a Christian.
But that is believing my state.
No, it says believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead.
Raised him from the dead. Yep. But how about all the other areas of life
that have not
lined up yet?
That is correct. But if we do not believe in our heart, if the belief in our heart is not there, can a person be a Christian? According to this verse, that is
if
a condition.
If we don't believe that he has risen from the dead, you are correct.
That's where it starts. And so make sure we do not skip over what the verse actually said. I had to quick look it up because I'm like, I think we missed part of the verse. That's why I quit.
You are right. Thank you, Jason. I appreciate that.
All right. That's all I had.
Thank you for bringing that up.
I think another side of that is the old man versus the new man, which is what was being said. Well, you can have good thoughts and good works from the new man and the new man and the old man, which is depends which tree you're in. So if you're in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you can do good things and operate from your mind, and it looks good to everybody around you, but it might just be a religious action. But you can do the same thing, and it's from the tree of life, and it's from your heart that God has given you, and it's good. Same thing.
Anything else?
I just wanted to clarify with that. I think, like, so if we're believing from our heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, then we have faith. And if we stay in that position of faith, we will live from the heart. But if we let fear take over, it takes us to the wrong tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so, yeah, I think it makes a difference if we're living from faith or fear.
It does make a difference, huge difference. Anyone else? Thank you for that input. I enjoyed that. I think we did anything. Well, I did read through this. Does anyone have any comments on this? I'll read this again. I am a slave to righteousness, Romans 6, 18 through 22a. You have become slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regards to you. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regards to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been made free from sin, and I believe this goes on to another passage. It says, I am enslaved to God and become slaves of God. That's the continuation of that verse there. Any comments anyone has here? See, what I see happening here is, for someone that is living, I'm going to say a middle ground, where your heart is removed from God, but still you know you should be a Christian, kind of want to be a Christian, but your heart is removed. You're living in two worlds. You're living in the world that you kind of want the things that are in the world. It's really alive within you, but there's another part of you that really wants the things of God. And now what's happening is within you, there is two kingdoms raging. And it makes confusion. And I would advocate, choose who you want to serve. Either live in God's kingdom and enjoy the glory of it, or live in Satan's kingdom and enjoy the moment. It does not bring good fruit. But the moment at least is good. That sounds horrible. But honestly, living in darkness, the moment is good, but it's really short. The outworking is the fruits of darkness is really, I mean, it's bad. John, the mic's behind you.
I believe I know where the context is coming from here, but the word enslaved gives a bad context to me. What I translate slave is to be forced to, instead of being a volunteer of or an apprentice of.
Okay.
Is that just a misinterpreted word, or am I? Do I have a wrong?
If I understand this meaning here, is it's a volunteer slave. A volunteer slave is like almost going to the Old Testament, where it brings up that picture of a person being enslaved to someone for an X amount of years. Then comes a time that they're supposed to be set free. In that time frame, the person can come back and say, I know I'm set free, but I choose to serve you anyhow. This is the picture I see in that. I'm going to choose to be under the lordship of Jesus Christ. No matter what he says, no matter where he leads, it's a no is not an option. It's automatic yes. I believe it's the same picture as being slaves, but I think there's one thing before that is voluntary. Slave that is, because in God's kingdom, everything's voluntary. But if we do that voluntary and completely sell yourself out, it's incredible. Any other thoughts? But this is just a continuation of that verse. And I'm going to just back up to read that verse in its fullness, starting 22. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruits to holiness and the end, everlasting life. And what this is, and the last one, I am recipient of eternal life. I don't know how much this affects you or not, but we're going to be enslaved to somebody. We're going to be enslaved either to darkness or to light. Choose who you want to serve. Do we want to serve Christ and be all in? Or do we want to serve Satan and all in? Confusion is when you try to do both. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. John 5:24. Most assuredly I say unto you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. I love this. We can pass from death to life. This is so powerful. Are you a recipient of eternal life? Everything is in place for us to be able to do that. All we got to do is choose if we want it. Any comments? I will live forever. John 6:51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. John 11:25. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Does everlasting life excite you? Or is it a judge or not? Any comments on these verses? Here's the next set, which I think I will go through this. And we'll see once if we can get through it or not. I'll probably just keep going to 12. Let's do this together. I am a joint heir with Christ, sharing his inheritance with him. I am an heir of God since I am a child of God. I am an heir according to the promise. I am a temple dwelling place of God's Spirit. I have his Spirit in me. Christ is in me. I am one spirit with him. I am a member of God's Christ body. I am a new creature in Christ. I created like him in righteousness and holiness. I am holy. I am a joint heir with Christ, sharing his inheritance with him. Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Ephesians 1:17-19. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Any comments? I'm an heir of God since I'm a child of God. Galatians 4:6-7. And because you are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then a joint heir of Christ, of God through Christ. This comes back to the slave thing. If I'm seeing this correct, is there is a time in your life when it seems like you are a slave to God. Where he says, do and you do, don't and you don't. But I believe as you mature, you will start finding yourself operating more as a son than a slave. When you look in our natural setting, we don't have slaves today, but the best thing that's closest to it is employees. A employee will operate different than a son under most times. Why is it? It's actually very basic. An employee, I am here to do this job here, this responsibility here. A son looks at it, at his job differently. Someday, I will probably own this business. And he processes his responsibility different than an employee. Bringing that into the picture of Christ. I believe there is a time we need to learn just to be faithful in doing what we are. And I'm very curious here. What does it mean to you to be an heir of God? What does that mean? Any thoughts?
To me, it means I have access to everything that Christ has access to.
Okay. Let's break that down a little bit. In John, it says, you're going to do greater works than I do. We all here, I don't think we have seen greater works than Christ than when Jesus was on this earth. Have you? I haven't. So what is missing of the inheritance that we're not experiencing today? If we have access, if we're joint heirs with Christ and have access to the same thing, why are we not experiencing greater works? Any thoughts, Alan?
We're not stepping out in faith and getting out of our comfort zone.
Okay. Anyone else have some thoughts? If we have access to the same, what is hindering us?
A few weeks ago, Dale had mentioned about what if the greater works, we think of it in physical, what if it's actually spiritual? Like, how many times have you witnessed someone, the Holy Spirit coming in to someone? Whereas, was that something that happened back in the time that Jesus had said that? Like, are we looking at something physical, or are we focusing on the spiritual side of it?
I hear what you're saying, and I don't want to throw that out. In the same token, I don't want to change that verse so I can justify my current reality. Rather, I want to look at it and look for the words exactly what it says. I believe that is part of it. But I don't believe it's only that. I also come to the other side of the physical, realizing that he might be also talking about the spiritual. My main thing is this. I don't want to change scripture so I'm comfortable with my current reality. I'd rather take and allow it to challenge me and seek God and say, why isn't my current reality to what this scripture is saying? And then that there helps me to grow. Jason has some. Say that in the mic. That's a good one.
I just said, if Jesus, you know, raised people from the dead, what works could we even do that would surpass the works that he did on earth?
Well, I'm going to give you one. What the reality of this is not, but one person was speaking that they believe that this is coming. That there was an earthquake in this area. Now this is theory. Okay, this happened, this never happened. But in her spirit, she was saying what she believes is coming. That there will be earthquakes where buildings will fall and this thing will go right back up again. It will rebuild itself in its original position. Whether that was truth or not, but that to me, I don't know what that would do within me. If I would see an earthquake where a big skyscraper would tumble and someone would speak the word and say, in the name of Jesus, rise again, and that building would go, bzzz. I don't know what I would do then. Jason, you had your hand up.
Oh, yeah. I almost forgot what I was going to say. I'm looking at verse 7, and I like to pick apart the verses, like take a look and see what it's saying. And it says, therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And now it's giving some conditions. And if a son, remember the word if, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Maybe the reason we're not being an heir is because we're not sons. I know you already mentioned that. I'm just coming back to that.
That's a good one.
It's just what I see in the verse. It almost appears that maybe we're still living as slaves when we're supposed to be living as sons and walking that out that way rather than just saying that we have to do it. I don't know.
You're on to something. And I believe that might be a switch from the mind to the heart. I do not think you can be a son and daughter of God in the sense that this is talking if you're living strictly out of the mind.
That's interesting, Jason, but to start even before that, are we willing to be slaves in every area first? Like, I see a lot of people fighting to be slaves. Like, they don't want to die to themselves. Well, yeah. Like, if you don't want to die to yourself, then you're not willing to be a slave. And you have to be a slave first, according to that, to become a son. Right?
You're right, Hannah. That is right. I'm going to close at this. I do want your input. I got only a small portion of this style that I could that we could go on. If you want me to go on more, I want your input throughout the next week or so. Let me know, because there's a lot more here that we can go in. Huh? Well, when you start seeing eyes going down and people losing interest, it's time for the next step. Do you want me to keep on going? Or I don't care. I'll keep on going, but I don't want to bore no one. Yes, Hannah. I can go on for a... I think I'll close for tonight, for today.